Hey, this is Jeffrey with Mountain Man Nutrition coming to you from Denver, Colorado. So I recently did a live cooking demo, type 2 diabetes, reversing type 2 diabetes. And this is my fourth one, and I've published every single one. So I try to do about one a month with a couple months in between because of my ankle surgery. So now that I'm back on my feet a little bit with a walking boot, I was able to do another cooking class. And here it is. The audio version of it. So if you have any questions, DM me, or you can get a hold of me through this Anchor app or through my website, www.nutritionmountainman.com. I hope you enjoy the episode and have a great day.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for hosting. My name is Jeffrey. I have a nutritional therapy business called Mountain Man Nutrition. I'm a nutritional therapist. So what is nutritional therapist? I'm also a professional chef, so I get to wear the coat. But a nutritional therapist is a holistic way of looking at nutrition to really stop chronic disease and to reverse chronic disease, right? Because how we understand it is chronic disease is a progressive illness that takes 10, 20, 30, 40 years to come on, and mostly it's because of nutrition, diet, lifestyle, and nutrient deficiencies. You know, Alzheimer's, type 2 diabetes, digestive issues, leaky gut, hormone issues, all of this is all being linked back to nutrition and your diet and your lifestyle. And the science is becoming more and more evident that the way that the mainstream doctors, which are super important in our lives, I just had ankle surgery, couldn't, you know, be walking without an awesome doctor to perform that ankle surgery, but this acute thing the doctors do is fantastic, but when we look at long-term disease and deficiency, handling it as an acute symptom doesn't really work. You know, to spend 7 minutes in front of a doctor and say, here's my symptoms, well, I have a prescription for those symptoms, go away, this paradigm is dying and it doesn't work anymore. You know, your doctor's trying to give you nutrition advice, and most of them have spent less than a week in medical school in nutrition. So the nutritional therapist is really replacing that paradigm, because I had 9 months of intensive, crazy nutrition training. You know, I read tons of books and spent a lot of time discovering this. Plus, with my business and seeing people, we learn more and more and more. You know, and so my focus, because I have reversed my own type 2 diabetes and I've reversed my own insulin resistance, is really helping people reverse their type 2 diabetes and insulin resistance. And that's really one of my hardest, is to, you know, help people do what I've done. You know, at one point in my life, I was 360 pounds. So I'm down to 240 and continue to slowly but surely drop. And I will tell you, this is a long game. You know, it took you 30 years to develop insulin resistance. It's not an overnight thing. So it takes a little bit of time to reverse that insulin resistance, to get those blood sugars under control, to get your digestion working properly so you can get your blood sugar under control. And that's what I'm here to do, is to help you. And of course, diet is the mainstay of that. So I have your little handout here. I'm going to be cooking and talking at the same time. I'll get some of this stuff going in a couple minutes, so because some of it's going to bake for a little bit. But I want to do, let's put them in some And then I'll kind of go through what I'm doing as I go. Actually, I'll hold off on this real quick, and I'll talk about the food. You guys have the menus and the recipes right in front of you. We're going to do an egg bake, and then we're going to do a portobello mushroom and chorizo sausage gravy. Okay, because one of the main things that we do here is we cut the carbohydrates, the starchy carbohydrates, the breads, the pastas, the fructose, the fruits, the starchy veggies, the sugar, the processed foods, because all this stuff is really spiking your blood sugar, which spikes your insulin. So I don't want those biscuits and gravy anymore, right? I don't want the oatmeal. I don't want this stuff, even though for some people it's super healthy, right? But because we're insulin resistant, or we have blood sugar issues, when we eat this stuff, it goes straight to our liver, goes straight to our bloodstream, and it all turns into sugar. You know, oatmeal and a candy bar, metabolically, and this is going to sound crazy, does the exact same thing to your blood sugar. It spikes it. You know, an apple or a banana or a piece of watermelon will do the same thing to you as a Snicker bar will. And that will it'll spike your blood sugar. So what do we replace that with? We replace that with vegetables, green vegetables, which don't spike your blood sugar, very little, with healthy fats, not fried chicken wings or things like that, but healthy fats like coconut oil, avocado, olives, yes, bacon and butter, especially if they're from healthy sources, are healthy fats, and they're essential. And we also, with really good quality protein, good quality eggs, sausages, ribeye steak is great, like fish is super awesome. So we replace our diet with this. Why? Because our blood sugars don't get spiked with fat, like boop, that much, right? So our insulin only goes up boop, a little bit. With protein, it'll go up a little bit and then come down. But with carbohydrates, starchy carbs, potatoes, pasta, bread, they spike really high and stay up there. And then you crash because it crashes. And then we have to produce, our livers produce more blood sugar, you know, because we're so low. And then we create more insulin. And pretty soon, we have so much sugar and so much insulin in our body that our cells won't take insulin anymore. Right? It's like, no way, I'm going to become dysfunctional if I get any more sugar, if I get any more insulin. Because insulin takes the sugar and puts it in your cell. That's its job. It also stores it as fat, right? It makes you gain weight, insulin, when you have high insulin. It's an impossibility to lose weight when you have high insulin. It doesn't work. Because insulin is a storage hormone, and it won't allow your body to release fat. So that's why we focus on lowering insulin, which, how do we lower insulin? We lower our blood sugar. And we do that by our diet, eating healthy, good fats, and good protein, and the good non-starchy vegetables that we all know and love, that we love. Yeah? So with these two recipes, I got them kind of going here at the same time. I have this chorizo sausage, and I grabbed a really good high quality Murray's. Everything you see here is sold right here in the grocery store. It's important that we do that. This has no antibiotics, no nitrates, no MSG, no sugar. Very important to read your labels. And so this is a good quality chorizo. And so I got some nice chorizo fat, which is going to flavor our gravy. And then I like oregano a lot. It does a lot for the digestive system, so and it goes great with chorizo. Yeah, so I'm going to add a little bit of oregano, dried oregano, to my gravy. In all my recipes, I'll let you know that, and some of you guys know, they're subject to change. So if you don't like oregano, you know, don't put oregano in it. Put garlic in it, or put parsley in it, or cilantro, or nothing at all. It's all up to you. I don't get crazy about my recipes. Very seldom do I ever make the same recipe twice anyway. You know, I make one and then I'll change it a little bit based on what I have in my refrigerator, based on what my kids want. So there's no hard, fast rule that you have to have something super, you know, the same. So I threw that in there. So I don't ever use whole milk, 2% milk, or skim milk. If you have to have milk, whole milk's the way to go, but it's still, it's sugar laden. If you go out there and look at your whole milk, there's like 11 grams of sugar in that whole milk. And even more, as they take away fat, they add more and more sugar to it, and we don't want sugar, right? So I always use heavy cream or half and half. This has to be half and half, because guys, this has, it's organic. It's got 1 gram of sugar, 1 gram of carbohydrate, right? So I'm gonna use this in my chorizo. And then here's some heavy cream. You could also use this if you are dairy-free, which a lot of people are. You can always use coconut milk out of the can. Whole-fat coconut milk, which is awesome. I love the flavor of that. I use that in a lot of my cooking. So I'm just going to kind of let that go and thicken up a little bit. I like, because we don't want to thicken with flour, because it's a grain. It spikes your sugar as well. Terrible for your digestive system. It grabs all the minerals in your stomach, in your gut, and it steals them. So if you are, you know, big on eating your calcium and your magnesium and all these minerals, iron, that's iodine, all this food that, and minerals that's super important to us, and you're eating white bread or pasta or whole grains, you're really robbing yourself of minerals, because it latches onto the minerals and it won't let your body upregulate them, right? And especially the older women, you've heard, eat your calcium a million times. Calcium is not the issue. We all get a lot of calcium. Through our regular, even as bad as the American diet is, we get plenty of calcium. What we don't have is the cofactors that upregulate the calcium. We have really bad acid in our stomachs, very low acid. So you have to have high acid to absorb calcium. You have to have some good healthy fats, because healthy fats is going to grab the calcium and take it from cell to cell. It's from tissue to tissue. You have to have the good whole digestive system so you can absorb it. Other minerals you need, potassium, magnesium, all these minerals all work together. And same thing for vitamins. All this stuff works together to keep you having calcium. So drinking a gallon of milk a week isn't going to give you any better calcium. Good digestion is going to give you good calcium. So I've already rendered down, you can see, some good bacon. Just chopped it up and slow cooked it till it's nice and crispy, and I turned it off because I'm going to put it in the oven. But I'm going to leave the bacon fat in here because it's delicious, right?
How much bacon did you have?
I actually just used the pack because we have a big bunch of people here.
Oh, okay.
So,
it's not listed, that's what I was curious.
Oh, it's not? So I got a little cheddar cheese in here. I just diced it because I don't like buying shredded cheese. I always shred my own cheese or dice it, because they put a lot of additives in shredded cheese to keep it from
cellulose
and different things, to keep it from sticking together. And I don't really need that in my diet. So I put some spinach in here. Just put a whole bag in here, guys. And then I got that cheese, and I'm gonna put a little Parmesan cheese in also. So this is a couple cheeses, some spinach, some bacon. I did this for my wife the other day, and we just had I just had mushrooms and onions in it, with a little bit of cheese and onions. And we got a bunch of people here, so I'm gonna add a little bit more egg. And then I got some free range eggs, high quality eggs, guys. Has anybody done that egg test? You look at the regular grocery store eggs, you crack one open, you look at the yolk, and then you grab a high quality, free range, good looking egg, and you look at the yolk. The yolk, it stands up real nice and high, it's a beautiful color. This is really important, healthy, good quality fat that you're getting, and that's what we want. We're trying to do.
I'm sorry.
Yes, ma'am.
What does pasteurization do to the egg?
Because it's not doing anything, it's just doing stuff to the outside of the egg.
The outside.
Yeah, so because there's nothing bad inside the egg, it's
because,
all on the outside.
Well, my chickens in my backyard, their yolks are even darker than.
Yeah.
And so I thought it was some pasteurization that did something.
Nope. I would much rather have your chicken eggs if they're just eating the grass and the bugs and stuff in your backyard than any other egg ever. You know, you're eating the best eggs ever. And that's the way chickens are meant to eat. When you, and I'll ask you this question because I like this question. Do you think it's important what you eat for your health? Right? So do you think it's important what the animal that you eat eats?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So we want the animal eating its natural food, right? And for like cows, that is grass, right? And it's more expensive, yeah. And we can't always get the grass-fed cow, but we try to as much as possible because that's naturally what the cow eats and because we can't eat grass. So we don't get the vitamins A, B, E, and K on a very high level unless we eat the grass-fed cow. Because the cow eats the grass and the grass vitamins A, B, E, and K go into the cow fat, and then we eat the cow fat. And that's how we get our vitamins. And that's how it's been for generation after generation after generation for millions of years, right? For several million years. That's how we eat it.
What is that model?
This is heavy cream.
So it's like that model?
Huh?
Is it the same as
that? No, this is half and half, and this is the heavy cream.
Oh,
I'll kind of grab a little bit of both. So what I'm going to do is I just threw a little heavy cream in here and I got a little bit of water. Water is great with eggs because when it heats up, it steams really nicely and it makes your eggs a little fluffier. So I like to always have a little, like if I scrambled eggs, I put 2 tablespoons, if I got like 2 or 3 scrambled eggs on the stove, I'll do 2 tablespoons of water, not to make it more or runny or anything, but just because it's going to steam and make me a little fluffier. And I always cook my eggs super low. You know, low heat, because they'll become fluffier, softer, and more delicious on low heat. All right. So I'm just going to mix that around a little bit in this, and I'm going to throw it in the oven, and then we're going to finish our little chat while it cooks. Right? Super easy. And then I'm going to turn this guy down a little bit.
What temperature do you have the oven?
Right now I got about 385. All ovens are different. Know your oven, right? All you the ladies that cook, they know if your recipe says 400, sometimes it needs to be 425. Sometimes it needs to be 385. I've done this class several times. I kind of know this oven a little bit, so I just don't know where the towels are. I do, actually. It's really
fun. On the other recipe, you have salt, and it says TT.
To taste.
Salt to taste.
Yeah. So, good question about salt. Also, salt does not give 99.99% of the people out there, you know, cardiovascular disease, high blood pressure. That's old school bad learning. What happens is processed food has so much pure garbage sodium in it, and we eat a lot of that, and then we take iodized salt or kosher salt or stripped down really bad sea salt and we put it on everything, that gives us an imbalance. So we need sodium, it's super important, it's essential to our body. We need magnesium, we need calcium, we need all these other minerals to go along with it. Because in cell water goes in and out of cells based on the calcium, magnesium, potassium balance. So if these are out of balance, then we get high blood pressure. So what I always recommend is that you eat plenty of salt because it's necessary, but eat really high quality salt, like Himalayan pink sea salt, or Hawaiian red salt, or black salt, or Celtic salt, In Littleton, there's a cool store that's got, they might even have it here, like gray salt. You know, it's really, it's high mineral. Excuse me?
Tensies. Spices?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other one. So they got like a gray, good salt that's gray. These are all mineral salts. So when you put salt that's been stripped of all its minerals, this is when you're going to have issues because you get out of balance. Yeah. Salt's not bad for you. It's essential. But when you're out of balance, then there's the issue. So if we add the minerals with it, we stay in balance. Yes, ma'am?
I had a question about high blood pressure.
Sure.
My mom, I took care of my mom for 12 years.
Uh-huh.
And I was always afraid to take her off of the blood pressure, but they're always saying that you can do it if you do some kind of a diet.
Yeah.
Is the diet, I mean, they always say stay away from salt, but they're coming up with a different idea with that, right?
Well, the science says eat the minerals with the salt.
Okay.
The science says that salt's not your issue on the cardiovascular disease. Your diet's the issue.
So what does that high blood pressure medicine do for my mom?
Besides probably give her joint pain and inflammation and all kinds of other side effects?
Yeah.
If she ever had a heart attack?
No.
Then it's doing nothing for her.
Okay. Like, so she could get off of it.
I can't tell you to get off of it. I can't say, I'm not a doctor. I can't ever recommend that. But would I ever take a blood pressure medicine? No, not ever. Would I ever take metformin? No, not ever. Would I ever take a statin? I would never take a statin. Right? Ever.
So, I was fearful of her nothing.
Well, it's your mother. You love her. Of course, you want to do the best for her, so there's always some fear there. So, you're going to beat yourself up about that. It's a wonderful thing. Right? You love your mother.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. I've been working with my mom for a long time on upping her fats and getting her, because, you know, she lived in the paradigm, like most of us, that fat is horrible, fat is evil, fat's going to make you fat. Especially pig fat, you know, or animal fat, is cholesterol's horrible for you. And the science is that it's completely untrue. There's never been a study ever to prove that cholesterol and heart disease have anything to do with each other, you know, ever. So, and well, let's talk a little bit about that. So if we grab our little sheets, we can talk about this. So how did we get to this American crappy garbage, processed food, everything's in the middle aisle, 80% of the food has in our grocery store has sugar in it, and this is how we got there. Man's first diet for millions of years, thousands and thousands of generations, was, no matter what anybody tells you, the science is obvious, that it was animal fat. We ate animal fat, because consider broccoli didn't exist. You couldn't eat almonds back then because they were arsenic. Cauliflower, cabbage, all this stuff is man-made plants from one vegetable, right? Potatoes bloomed a couple months of the year, and we didn't really know to dig them up and eat them, except for a couple parts of the country, thousands of years later, like in the Andes, right? So berries bloomed in late summer. You know, if you could get those and gorge on some berries, or some, you can find one fruit tree, you could gorge on that late summer when that stuff was available. But everything else was hunting food and eating everything on that animal because they had to eat everything. And what they prized was the brain, the liver, the fat behind the eyes, the marrow. You know, every bone they find of an animal that was killed by a human is cracked open in all the marrow, and they could see the cut marks from them beating it with rocks, sharpened tools, to break open, to eat the marrow. And they have found this millions of years back. Everybody knows the little 5'4", what's her name, Eddie or Edie? I can't remember her name, but you know, one of the only little habitat that they found from this period, almost a full body, but it's blatantly obvious from the teeth and the blood. They could pull the bone out and look at the density and see what they were eating. They were eating fat. and they were eating meat. And so our digestive systems over millions of years developed to eat meat and fat, and that's why we have such huge brains. Actually, the science shows that we've lost like 10 to 15% of our brain since 10,000 years ago when the agricultural revolution started. You know, before this, they would get some wheat and they would beat it with a rock and then make a little paste with it and cook it on a hot rock or something, and it would be a little bread. And this was natural, you know, small amounts, good wheat to go with their fat, you know, maybe something to sustain them for a little while. But it wasn't a agricultural revolution, which completely changed our diet, which started the process, you know, of down the road of what we do today, you know, and how we eat today. And eating wheats and grains and things like that has just destroyed our digestive systems. Leaky gut, everybody heard of that now? It's the reason why everybody is getting autoimmune disease. And grains are, it look like the grains are the issue, especially gluten, but all grains. So we get gluten beats the crap out of our cells, the mortar between our cells, and it separates a little bit, and all these gluten molecules or these proteins get in our bloodstream because of that, and then our body fights it because it's not supposed to be there, it's too big, it's supposed to go through the cell. But because of the gluten destroying our guts, because we're not supposed to eat it, especially the modern gluten, because it's completely different than what they were eating during around, you know, the agricultural revolution, completely different. So it's, our bodies are not used to it. In 10,000 years seems like a long time, but it's not, especially when you're talking about we've been eating fat and meat for millions of years, right? So it's sometimes, you know, when you think about 10,000 years, it's a long time, but with the evolutionary, we weren't. Consider that we have a gallbladder. We have a gallbladder to do one thing, break down fat. Our liver produces bile, the bile goes to our gallbladder, and then when we eat fat, the enzymes are triggered to squeeze the gallbladder, and the bile goes into our small intestine and breaks down fat. Bile is there to break down fat, one of the main reasons it's there. If we weren't supposed to and or been eating fat for millions of years, we would have never developed the gallbladder. It's really basic science. And then guess what? Refined sugar came along in the 1600s. Now, of course, everybody wasn't eating 170 pounds of sugar a year back then like they are now, but you start to see the more rich people who can afford sugar to start to gain weight, because they're eating, you know, really big, good, healthy fat, but now they're eating a bunch of sugar too. And that makes people get fat. Because when you eat that sugar, your body's gonna burn the sugar first, because it's quick energy, and the fat is long-term energy. If we're burning fat, we have long, consistent energy for a long time, right?
Right.
When we're burning sugar, it's quick energy. That's why we eat every 2 hours. When we're eating oatmeal for breakfast, and then at 10 o'clock we have to have a yogurt, and then at noon we have to have, you know, a coffee and another bagel, and, you know, we're hungry all the time because it's quick burning. It makes us hungry all the time, right? When we eat a big log of good healthy fats and some protein, we don't have to eat until 11 o'clock because we're just not hungry. You know, and then our next meal is at 5 o'clock, 6 hours later, because we're just not hungry, because we eat healthy fat, good protein. So refined sugar was the next step. Industrial Revolution in the 1800s, they started doing some crazy stuff with food. Then the food giants were born. Big corn, big oil, processed food, these type of things were being formulated, and more chemicals into our food now. And everything went from being a whole natural food, looks like a carrot, looks like a apple, looks like an orange, looks like a cow. Now we're eating, you know, different kind of things. And this is when blood pressure started going up. This is when people started getting fat. You see doctors started journaling about their clients getting fat and getting put on certain diets and stuff, and they look at the old school doctor's notes. And of course, what were the really good doctors prescribing? is a high-fat, low-carbohydrate diet. Even back then, the doctors knew in the 1900s that you need to cut the sugars out, you need to cut the breads out, and it's all in their journals when you go back and look at it. The Price Pottinger Foundation, really, it's a foundation in San Diego, California. They really look at a lot of this stuff and archive it and store it. And then, of course, World War II came out, and we started canning everything, right? And then we took all the chemicals that were bomb-making material, and we decided that that would be better use to put on our food because it was antibacterial, it killed weeds, it killed everything, you know, because, you know, if you spray a jungle with this stuff, it all dies. So if you spray our corn with it or our pineapple or whatever we spray with it, all the weeds and stuff are going to die too. Yeah. So it really got bad, and this is the steps to our modern, awesome, what we call the SAD diet, or the standard American diet, that has given me digestive issues, has given me type 2 diabetes, you know, my grandma had Alzheimer's, you know, my whole family, heart disease. So this is the steps. So, does anybody, if you look at the next page, anybody heard of Dr. Price? I was going to bring his book, but I forgot, because I came from the hospital here. So Dr. Price was this awesome, amazing dentist that started early in the 1900s as a dentist, and his job was pretty easy because everybody had super good teeth, because they had a really good diet. And then, when he got later on in like the 40s, he discovered that everybody's teeth were getting really, really bad. And the new kids, their teeth wouldn't fit in their face anymore. You know, the newborns, and as they were growing up, getting older and older, their jaws were smaller. And everybody had rotten teeth early. And he was like, well, this has happened in a generation. And why is this? So Dr. Price and his wife traveled the world after he retired, and he did a study of many, many Aborigine cultures. The Inuits, the American Indian, the South American Indian, Africans. He went all over the world and he looked at these people eating their natural natural diet. And all of them had these things listed here. And it says, while diets of healthy cultures vary greatly, there are several commonalities. No refined processed foods. None of them ate processed anything. They all had some type of animal product with some raw. Diets were higher in calcium and other minerals, 10 times the fat-soluble vitamins in the modern Western diet. You know, because we've been told that don't eat meat, don't eat fat, don't eat butter. High enzymes, that means their digestive systems were great because of the food that they were eating. Seeds, grains, legumes, nuts were soaked, sprouted, fermented, or naturally leavened. Right, they were soaking their meat. You know, people in Africa were soaking their food, soaking their grains, soaking their meats. Fat content varied from 30 to 80% of fat. 80% of some of these people's diets were from fat. Let me stir my sausage. Diets contained nearly equal amounts of omega-3, omega-6 fatty acids. So, I don't know why there's a 7 in there. It's omega-3 and omega-6. So right now, if you go to the American Standard regular guy eating the SAD diet, it's more like 1 to 64 omega-6s. You know, it could be 1 to 6, 1 to 12, 1 to 20, but they found that it can also be from 1 to 64. And that's because of the vegetable oils are so high in omega-6 fatty acids. And vegetable oils, as you guys know, probably are rancid, they're terrible for you. If it's in a clear bottle on the shelf, stay away from it because it's already bad oil. And it's heat processed and used chemicals to pull the oil out of the cottonseed. You know, how do you get the oil out of that? You know, you process it, you put chemicals on it, and it's rancid and it's terrible for us. And we're, you know, when we deep fry a chicken in that, or deep fry our turkey for Thanksgiving in that garbage, it goes into our body, and our cells use it. And of course, if our cells are used with rancid, not very high quality fats, we don't get very healthy cells. Yeah, because every cell has.
So Bart, we used to, I remember when folks used to have all these things, Bart.
Bart?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then we went to CRISPR.
Yep. Yeah, that was part of the Industrial Revolution.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ansel Keys telling everybody that, you know, these vegetable oils, Crisco, and all these companies, these are good, healthy stuff, and that lard is terrible for you. And all the restaurants spend millions of dollars to go to these cheaper, crappier vegetable oils because the oil industry got in bed with the American Heart Association and Ansel Keys and the government, and they all pushed their agenda on us for the last 4 years. Yeah? If you guys haven't read the book Big Fat Surprise yet, everybody needs to read this book. It's this lady spent 14 years or something like really researching Ansel Keys, the government, the diet, the like everything you need to know about why we have like obesity, diabetes, heart disease, all this stuff. And she traces it all the way back, and it's a phenomenal book. One of the best books I've read this year. Fantastic. Big Fat Surprise. Have you read it?
No, Big Fat Surprise is the name of it.
Yep, it's fantastic. I can't remember the name of the author right now. Diets contain some unrefined salts. We talked about that. Diets made use of bones, usually in bone broth. Right? So bones, the marrow, making bone broth, very, very, very important and delicious. So, guys, I guarantee you, the people that Dr. Price studied, none of them had type 2 diabetes until he went to the places where these Aborigines or these ancient cultures and these tribes, when they went, moved away from their tribe and went to Western area or where they were doing Western food or the big city, and he studied them, they all had bad teeth. You know, they all were gaining weight. They all had some kind of metabolic issue. They had all kinds of problems, even with like deformities and their faces getting smaller, his bone getting smaller, some of them had messed up legs. It really destroyed the cultures. Like when they moved away from eating their natural diet, which means they started eating processed food, Western food, it really destroyed it. And it really gave them a lot of health issues. And so like he added that in his research as well. And there's books out there on Dr. Price you can read. So processed food, carbohydrates. What to avoid? Let me check on this real quick. Looking nicely. So refined sugars. man-made processed sugar, white sugar, high fructose corn syrup, agave, fruit juice.
No tequila, huh?
Syrups, huh?
No tequila, huh?
No tequila. Well, it's going to turn into sugar in your body anyway. Most alcohol does, yeah?
Yeah.
So refined sugars, learn to read labels. You know, if it's in a box or in a bag or something like that, it's probably not good for you anyway. Refined grains. Refined grains are not only bad for your blood sugar, but they also stop your digestive system from absorbing minerals. We talked about that. So like when it says whole grains, like most of the time it's not whole grains anyway. It's certainly not the grains our ancestors were eating, and they've been manipulated and modified to give like big heads, little stacks, and the gluten's kind of crazy. And then they strip all the minerals away, and then, you know, the cereal brand puts minerals back in, which is really like not digestible by your body, you know? So like everything that says whole grain, healthy, heart healthy, like you gotta be suspect, right? It's really, in my opinion, a marketing gimmick. And whole grains, even though we've been sold the bill of goods that these are awesome for us, that we need them, name the essential carbohydrate or whole grain that we must have for our diet. Protein, right? Amino acids. Essential. We die without them. Our body cannot rebuild itself without amino acids. It can't produce hormones. It can't do a lot of stuff. Enzymes. Fatty acids. Every single cell in our body is made from fatty acids, from cholesterol. We run on fuel, all kinds of good stuff. It's essential. Fatty acids. Can't live without it. Name the carbohydrate that is essential in our body. Must have it. Whole grain. That's right. There is not one. Carbohydrates, grains, are not essential for our body in any way. Our body does not need them to function. Our, like, carbohydrates, I say, are starchy vegetables, grains, pastas, things like that. Of course, there's broccoli has carbohydrates in it, right? But it's super low. And the vitamin content and the good stuff in it, you know, overrides the 1 or 2 grams of carbohydrates you're getting in it from a cup. You know, spinach, I eat a lot of spinach. I eat a salad almost every single day. You know, and I put a bunch of fatty stuff on it, like olives and anchovies and avocado. And, I was putting cheese on it, but I'm starting to cut out cheese a lot now. But these things are awesome for us, like the salads and asparagus and things like that. These are not high glycemic foods. You know, the sweet potato, not essential. It's going to, you know, spike your sugar. Regular potato, rice, buckwheat, you know, millet, oatmeal, all this stuff, this is what spikes our blood sugar. And this is refined grains, refined sugars, packaged foods. So if it's in a box out here, even though, you know, we love to support our national grocers because they're allowing us to be here, let other people who don't have issues or don't really care about their nutrition buy that stuff. And I highly recommend we buy healthy fats, healthy proteins, and fresh vegetables. All right?
Is there any bread that you could buy that's, that qualifies?
Is healthy?
Yeah.
No.
I like a piece of toast with my egg in the morning. They do a sourdough.
Yeah.
And that might be the...
So I would say, like, if you don't have some major metabolic issue, like if you're not type 2 diabetic or insulin or even on the borderline, if you're in really good health and you make your own sourdough bread out of whole grains, like with some stone ground grains, or if there's a really good company out there that is doing that themselves, I would go with that. Make sure it's fermented, you know, and not chemically fermented, like 99.9% of the crap out there now. You know, this means making a sourdough mother and letting it cook for 3 days, you know, and make itself. But I would say if you have metabolic issues, no, there's no such bread out there that's going to be good for you. Because gluten-free bread seems healthy, right? Whole grain gluten-free bread sounds great. Until you look at the back of the package, and maybe there's sugar in it, or maybe there's just 25 highly refined other potato starch, tapioca starch that's it's made from. Well, that's still, you know, 65 grams of carbohydrate. You know, most breads, and this is serious, most breads will spike your sugar level for some reason more than sugar. Breads can spike, and I'll say that again, breads can spike your sugar more than sugar, right? Based on the way we process food. So I would say, no, stay away from that. Do we have any other questions? Good time to answer them because we're waiting a couple minutes. Sure, I would substitute a mushroom.
Oh.
So there are some, like,
jelly and butter.
Butter. Throw some butter on the mushrooms. No, really, there's some breads you can make from, like, almond flour and eggs. But here's my issue with that. When I make it, because I love bread, guys, I love it. I just don't eat it. So when I make this egg bread with protein powder and a little bit of almond flour and it's big fluffy and I cut it and I eat it with a big hunk of butter and it's still not bad for me, but I still eat the whole loaf. You know what I mean? Because it's the emotional trigger for me. You know, so when I make it for the kids, I end up eating half the thing myself. And so I try to stay away from it. You know, when I get down to 200 pounds and I don't have any issues and I'm kind of moving along a little bit, I'll probably make more of it. You know, because I'm not scared to death to have half the loaf or whatever, or give it to my wife or whatever. I can manage it a little better. But for my diet right now, and for your diet right now, we're not making bread, right? It's even if it's high fat, high protein bread, just because we don't need to eat the whole thing.
Do you know what you can do to regulate your borderline thyroid? Your thyroid signal?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff you can do to regulate that. There's supplements that you could regulate. I couldn't tell you right now what to do because I haven't. I do a functional evaluation, which is a old school way of detecting inflammation in the body through palpitation, and to find out your inflammation and what's working and what needs nutrients, and then we'll neuro test you, with supplements, and then repalpitate. And if your body wants those, you're going to see less inflammation and less basically pain. And then, of course, I do a really intensive look at your diet, and then an intensive look at your history. And then I have you do what they call a NAC, which is going to ask a lot of questions. And I'm going to look at the thyroid questions specifically for you and make an educated, researched suggestions for support. Yeah? So that's kind of how I work. It's more detailed. I'm not going to spend 7 minutes with you and give you a supplement or tell you to eat more beets. You know, I'm going to spend several hours of my own time looking at what you tell me, and then I would go from there. But yeah, you can certainly save your thyroid, rest your body, get your thyroid working again. Yes, absolutely, it's very doable. Yeah.
So you're saying you see individuals?
Yes, that's what I am, a nutritional therapist. I have a home office.
Oh.
I see individuals. I see couples, right?
Do you ever work with Dr.
Billica? No. I've only been in Denver for a couple of years. First of all, I'm a professional chef. I still work full time. I've been off for 3 months because I just had ankle surgery. And I'm just now walking with my boot. I got my cast off today. So I was giving classes every month here, and then I took 2 months off. And now this is my first class back because I can walk. So, but I've been constantly seeing clients in my own home where my office is. Yeah.
You didn't talk too much about nuts.
Are you calling me nuts? Is that what you're saying?
Not yet.
No, nuts are very healthy fat. It's a trick. You know, it can be super healthy for you. I love to add nuts into my diet, although I don't go overboard because of the carbohydrate content. And I always look at raw nuts, soaking them, or I grind them up and make my own nut butter because I can take $7 worth of raw cashews and make $35 worth of nut butter instead of buying, you know, cashew butter, which is like $17. I can make the same thing for $6. So I love making my own nut butter. But yeah, I definitely have nuts in my diet. I put nuts in my salad. I make nut oatmeal or nut, actually granola, with just a bunch of different nuts, you know, and that's super awesome. So I definitely add healthy nuts to the diet. It's especially for brain health. Like a handful of cashews a day, you can get rid of a lot of your brain drugs. You know, it's super healthy for your brain. It gives your brain the nutrients it needs to make its happy drugs. So almonds, the same thing. I'm gonna whack these up and throw a little gravy on them. You can take this gravy and really thicken it up a lot with xanthan gum. And they had some here, but now it's gone. So I didn't do it, but you're gonna get the point of how awesome little gravy can be. And if you wanna make that bread, because you have to have it, I can get you a recipe. That's not a problem.
What form is that xanthan gum in? Is it powder?
It's powder. And you just throw it in there and it thickens up. It was up here when I looked, but now, a couple days later, it's gone. So I'm just going to whack this up. So you can actually make any kind of gravy. You can make any kind of gravy, any kind of sauce, any kind of whatever you want. Using like good healthy meat and some heavy cream or half and half, and you can actually, and I'll show you how easy this is. If I can turn it on. So I'll thicken it up real quick because it's not that thick yet, and we'll just use Parmesan cheese because it's a really good thickener and gives some good flavor. And we can thicken it with that. And I love chorizo because it's so flavorful, you know. And I just want people to know eating this way is delicious. Like eating healthy doesn't have to be like rice crackers, you know, like rice puffs or whatever kind of garbage that we were told that we had to eat to be healthy because we didn't want the calories, you know, like. Calories doesn't matter. So I just want you to let you know that you can have delicious, awesome, flavorful food and still be healthy.
You didn't live here then, but in the 70s, in Denver, we used to have the most wonderful vegetarian restaurants with all kinds of wonderful food. It wasn't rice and salad for a vegetarian diet, and I miss those restaurants. They just all disappeared. Jim and I was one of them. They had one over on Color Boulevard, and they had one up by the old village. So what we're going to do is I'm going to put this down. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Is there any vegetarians here? No. Any dairy people, cheese people? Can't have cheese, dairy. Is phyllo dough bad?
Yeah, phyllo dough is really bad. Like croissant dough, because it's high sugar, high fat, and high carbs. So we want healthy fat in our diet, right? We love butter. Butter's good. Butter's yummy, especially if it's like grass-fed butter. But when we put it with a bunch of sugar or carbohydrates, your body is going to use the carbohydrates first, always, because it's quick and fast, and our body will always pick the fast one first. So what's it going to do, especially if you're insulin resistant, what's it going to do with the fat? Because it's already got the sugar to burn it for energy, so it's going to ship it to your liver. Your liver's going to turn it to glycogen, and your body's going to store it. Right? So it's going to store it in the fat. Let me cut this up real quick.
So what happened? Did you just put those mushrooms in the broiler?
Yeah, I just threw them in the broiler. You can throw them in the saute pan. 10 minutes with a little oil. I used coconut oil today and a little salt. I just use mushrooms because it's delicious. It's a good, healthy starch. Like, it's not a starch, but it seems meaty, starchy. Like, it's a good substitute. You know, like, I do big round mushrooms in a meat sauce instead of using spaghetti. You know, it's a great thing. Or mushrooms as my, instead of having them rice, I use mushrooms. You know, as a condiment or a side dish. So I really like mushrooms, you know, and they're good medicinal. You kind of mix it up, different kinds of mushrooms, different places, and you get a good variety of different stuff. I try not to eat, like, I don't eat ridiculous amounts of them, because especially if you have bad digestion, because sometimes mushrooms, if you have bad digestion and you don't have the good bacteria in your stomach, it could support bad bacteria growth. But if you have really good digestion, mushrooms are going to do some really good things for you. Yeah.
And spaghetti squash good?
No, spaghetti squash is a starch. So although it's great to, you know, roast it, thing it, and throw a lot of butter in it or throw some meat sauce on it, it's still starch. So it's not going to be good for you. But you know what? You can do the spiral or buy the spiral zucchini. And that's a good healthy vegetable that's not going to spike your insulin. You know, and okay, we got to. I'm going to pull this other food real quick as soon as I serve this up. And we got to try the food. Any questions?
How do you know?
Well, there's different ways. Like, do you have good acid in your stomach? Like, do you burp? Do you have bloatedness? Do you have indigestion? Do you have heartburn? This is the start of it, because you got to have good, healthy acid to get the process going.
So you're saying that burping and acid reflux and stuff like that would be a sign of bad bacteria?
No, it's caused by... low stomach acid, but if you have low stomach acid, you're not digesting your foods, which causes bad bacteria way down low. It's a north to south process. If you're eating on the rush and not producing acid in your stomach, everything below it is going to be messed up, no matter what, because you can't eat a cheeseburger with one bite and expect it to digest and not mess up everything else going down, right? Because your body's not going to pull off the nutrients. It's going to have other issues, and your bacteria is everything to your body. It talks to your brain, talks to your gut, talks to your immune system. It's everything. And when you're not digesting things up here, it's not going to be healthy down here. So honestly, we talk a lot about this with nutritional therapy. If you look at your poop is going to tell you a lot. You know, is it snakes all the time? You go to the bathroom a couple times a day and it's, you know, pretty consistent. Then I would guess that that would be the first thing that I would say that you have good, healthy gut bacteria. If you maybe get sick once or twice a year and it's pretty quick and you get over it, I would say your immune system's pretty good. If you never get sick, I would be scared, right? But if you're sick all the time, I would also be scared. If you have constipation a lot, if you have runny stools a lot, if things are always different, always changing, I would start looking into that, your gut bacteria. Any other questions? I would rather talk about the good, healthy stuff that's good for you, that's going to make you...
I'm sure there's oils. I mean, I worked hard to clean it up, but I can tell I have a ways to go.
Your jelly, your oils,
your bread. So I wanted to show you guys this particular gravy in kind of way. And again, you can use xanthan gum or you can use Parmesan cheese or another cheese, whatever you like. If you want to take these and pass it around. To show you that you don't need roux, you don't need flour to make a gravy. You know, and again, this is the good healthy fat going in, some good dairy if you handle dairy very well. So you don't have to have carbohydrates in every single thing. And I didn't check the salt.
That's good.
And then I'm going to pull the egg bake out. And it should be ready to go also. Lunch, dinner, any kind of meal that you want. And that's what I don't just eat breakfast or eggs for breakfast. You know, I like eggs any time of day. Our family eats Fat Jacks and eggs sometimes for dinner. Fat Jacks is kind of a fatty pancake.
What about maple syrup?
I don't do maple syrup, although it's all natural, it's real, it's good, but it's still going to spike your blood sugar. If you don't have a metabolic issue, you know, having a little bit of maple syrup once in a while is not going to affect you on any level, not going to be an issue. Thanks, sir. But if you're, you know, eating it three times a week, you know, can't recommend that.
One more.
And guys, there's seconds or thirds here if you want more. And you can take item A and put item B on it as well. And have some gravy on your eggs. Guys, I'm going to pass around. I used to send it out every week, but I only send it out once a month now because I get so much mail, and I don't like to read some of the mail every week. If you want a mail, and I put recipes in it, I give digestive help, talk about insulin resistance. I got a podcast also that I do So if you want information like that, or if you want me to contact you about coming in to help you control your blood sugar, reverse your type 2 diabetes, help your hormones, you know, digestive issues, whatever kind of chronic thing you got going on, I'm totally willing to help. Put a little star by your name, and I'll give you a call, and we can talk about it.
I just bought an Instacart. I was worried about it. Well, obviously, there was periods of starvation too. So, there's a lot of talk about the intermittent fasting.
Yeah, I love intermittent fasting. I just, it's a great tool for reversing your insulin. Because the more you eat, the more times you eat, the more times your blood sugar spikes, no matter what you're eating. You know, even if you eat just fat, it's still going to spike a little bit. So if you don't eat until 11, 12, 1, 2 in a day, you haven't spiked your blood sugar all day.
Well, I see too that they talk about just when you do that, that you should just go with soups and liquids. Mm-hmm. And so I get bone broth.
Bone broth is great. I drink coffee in the morning. I typically don't eat breakfast until between 11 and 2, you know, my first meal. But I do have coffee. Sometimes I have a fatty coffee. Like I put butter and MCT oil in it, or sometimes I just do a bone broth in the morning. Sometimes I don't do anything. I typically always have at least a black coffee. But yeah, absolutely. It's a good, but here's my thing. If you're not fat adapted, if you're still eating a lot of carbs, a lot of flour, bread, and oatmeal and stuff, I highly recommend you never try fast, because you're going to make yourself crazy and you're not going to be able to do it. You're frustrated and you're going to do it. So the idea is, start adding healthy greens, healthy fats, moderate protein. You don't want to have crazy amounts of protein, but you want to have a good moderate protein, and then cut out all this stuff. And then what's going to happen is, one morning you're going to wake up, if you're normally eating breakfast at 8 o'clock in the morning, you're not going to be hungry until 1. It's going to happen naturally. And when that happens, I'm going to say, okay, why don't you have an extra big glass of water at 9 instead of eating at 9, and see if you can make it.
I asked my doctor about that. She said she might be intermittent fasting. Of course, your doctor was trained by the pharmaceutical companies. She's open to the supplements I'm trying. Are they going on medicine? But I was really surprised at her response. Is this for sure?
I think it looks recyclable. Yeah. Sure, tell them to come on in. I'll make them a plate. Any other questions? Everybody like the food? Do you guys see yourselves making something like this at your own home? Is this doable?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I cook now more than I ever did. Just because I don't like restaurants
anymore, so I'm healthy. This diet, and like working on your health, will make you into a foodie, make you into a cook. I don't know how many clients I have or people I've talked to that have just like hated cooking, and then a year later they cook all the time and they love it. You know, because they're in control, they're dealing with it, they know what's in their food, they become educated about what's in their food. You know, and this excites people. And I like being in control of what I'm eating. I just tasted everything. I thought it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I'm curious, your personal situation was the getting rid of the diabetes, the driver that started you on this quest? For your weight or for both? I mean, it's great. I applaud you.
Yeah,
doing it. That's great.
I started losing weight several years ago. Mm-hmm. But when I really kicked it in and really focused on this ancient, healthier way of eating, is when I had really bad inflammation in my ankle. And so I had a cyst in my, behind my shin, above my ankle, from when I messed my ankle up when I was like 16. Thank you. And what happened was it would swell up every now and again and leach liquid into my calf, and I couldn't walk. It was super painful. And then I'd go to acupuncturist, and stick me, and a few days later it was fine, and a month later it was fine. And I was like, what is going on with my what is going on with this? And of course, I went to my surgeon who actually did this ankle surgery. But he was like, well, I can just pull the liquid out, or you can have surgery, or here's some payment. And I wasn't really at that time willing to do any of it. Sure. So I just started doing research on my own and come across like, oh, hey, carbohydrates holds liquid and it creates inflammation. So I cut out the carbohydrates. 12 days later, I didn't have any pain and I lost like 4 kilograms like that, just by cutting out the grains. And I said, well, if I can heal this with nutrition, what else can I heal? So I just did a deep dive, and then I come to school, and I went back to school, full time, I'm being a chef full time, and then, it just all kind of went from there. I started a business, and we're rocking and rolling.
So now, do you go to all the vitamin clinics, or do you just go to the ones that you feel like?
No, it's definitely right here, right now, but I think I'm looking for another location, because I want to do 2 a month. Instead of just doing 1 month, I want to do 2, so. The one in Centennial down by the airport has a kitchenette. I gotta go look at it and see if I can cook on it or not. I'm gonna go downtown and look at that one and see if they got it. The one right by me, I just moved from right around the corner down to Centennial off of Broadway in Arapahoe. So my National Grocery doesn't have a kitchenette. So I'm staying here.
My university?
Yeah. So no kitchenette. So I'm staying here. And then I'm going to look for another location just to do 2 a month, so I can help people in other locations. Thank you, guys. Thank you. I'm going to start cleaning up my mess. And you guys can ask questions or what have you. And if you marked a little star, I'll give you a call in the next couple days. And
I did get a star, but I'm going to call you.
Okay, you got my card too, yeah?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
We're sort of starving at our house because I'm not very good at anything. Trying to, everything that I learned isn't good for us.
Right.
So I'm trying to change. So. To implement a little bit more, could we do it through all your classes, or would you suggest sitting down?
Well, I mean, if you want to, I can do a lot of different things. I can teach you how to cook.
Okay.
You can do cooking classes in your own home. I can take you to the grocery store for you to buy. I can do a meal plan for you.
Okay.
Really depends on kind of what you want.
Okay.
But we can work something out. Here's a few more recipes that you can have. And then, did you get your email address?
I did, and I put a star.
Okay, and I'll give you a call, and then I will email you some more recipes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And that'll give you a good start, and then we can have a conversation.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Where are you, a chef?
Racine's.
Oh, I love that.
Oh,
yeah.
Yep. So I'm one of the sous chefs there.
What would you recommend that I eat there?
Well, I recommend you change whatever you eat to the way a healthy way of eating. Because if I'm cooking there, I'm going to give you a big steak with mashed potatoes and a veg. So you don't want that. You don't want the mashed potatoes. You don't want the rice that we have.
Salads
are great with some salmon. Or get a salmon or a steak without the starch, or extra veg. Bye bye, thank you. The breakfast, get a bacon and eggs, and don't get the potatoes, and don't get the food, and we'll get extra veggies.
So just like order sides, because we go out to breakfast a lot because we hike and we go. And I was thinking, just to order some eggs and bacon and nothing else, just do sides.
I eat that when I go to the restaurant. I get a couple of fried eggs, sunny side up, and some. Extra thing of bacon and a piece of avocado. Order extra, or I get a big salad, and I just can go from there. I even do ranch. Our ranch, there's no sugar in the ranch. It's not the greatest of oils, but sometimes you got to give and take. At a restaurant, but salad with ranch.
I try to avoid fat, so this is like.
I'm sorry to hear that. We're gonna have to reverse that for you. And help
you. That's my blood work. Everything's pretty good for me, so kind of. But because I'll change.
So,
okay, I'm going to get some dishes done.
Yeah, when we go out, we always have to change. And I get the scrambled eggs, and then no potatoes, and no toast, and they have like what's called fresh green, and it's basically a Caesar salad dressing.
So what about hot sauce? I like hot. Look at the label. I think Tabasco's okay. Look at the label. See how much sugar's in it.
Actually, there's no sugar. It's just water.
I'm grateful. No problem. Right? Thank you, sweetie. I look forward to hearing from you. I'll give you a call. Thank you, sir.
I'm healthier than when I work. You know, and that's
why, yeah, because, you know, they have all that food around.
Well, and then I never exercise, and I exercise like crazy. But I can, I have the time. You know, we hike all the time. And we have practices. We go with them. We go with them. Yeah. Good. She's mad at death.
Yes, sir. And how do you say your last name? Hipschman.
Uh-huh. I'd have never guessed. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Have a great day. Thanks for coming in.
Well, you know, Or else we would not be here tonight.
I just watched a docu-series on Netflix about food, and it's clear to me that the food and that is like this.
Thanks a lot. Hey, this is Jeffrey with Mountain Man Nutrition again. And if you like the podcast you just heard, tell a friend. Share it on Facebook, share it on Instagram, share it on Twitter. Wherever you can share it, tell somebody who can benefit from it. Because that's why I'm here and that's why I'm doing this podcast, is to benefit as many people as possible. Millions and millions of Americans have suffered from type 2 diabetes, insulin resistance, and continue to suffer. So if we can benefit them in any way, shape, or form with this podcast, I want to do that. So please share it with your friends. Get on iTunes and give me a 5-star rating if you liked it, 5 stars. And then write a little blog about it, or a little say something about it so other people can find it that you're not sharing it with. You know, the more people who listen, the more benefit we can do for others, and you can be a part of that. And I'm asking you to be part of that. So let's share this podcast as often as possible. Thank you very much, and good wishes to you.